Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Very good. All of my young people know that response. That's something we should all say, right? He is risen indeed. Do you remember what you were doing or where you were exactly 11 years ago yesterday on Saturday, April the 2nd, 2005? Some of our young people today would say, Father, I wasn't even born 11 years ago. I was only existed in the mind of Almighty God. What were you doing 11 years ago yesterday on Saturday, April the 2nd, 2005? I know what I was doing. I was glued to the television set around 3 o'clock, the hour of mercy, because I found out just about 20 minutes earlier my good friend had died. Pope Saint John Paul II. Yesterday at the men's conference, I asked one of the men if he knew where he was exactly 11 years ago yesterday. And he said, oh yes, this young man said, I remember very distinctly. He said he was a college student, a youth minister at one of our Minnesota parishes. And when he found out that John Paul II had just died, he emailed all of his youth ministers and friends. Nobody texted 11 years ago as they do today. So he emailed all of his college friends and youth ministers and said, let's go to the chapel and we'll pray for the repose of the soul of the Pope. And only one person responded. It was this absolutely beautiful non-Catholic girl who not only ended up becoming Catholic, but also that young man's wife. Now, 11 years later, we know some of the more intimate details of what happened at the time of John Paul II's death. Just before 9 o'clock in the evening, Rome time, on that Saturday, yesterday, April the 2nd, 2005, Pope John Paul II's longtime personal secretary, Archbishop Stanislaus Dziwisz, felt a kind of imperative command from the Holy Spirit to offer Mass right then and there. And he thought, this is kind of weird. You know, it's late at night. Well, why is the Holy Spirit asking me to offer Mass now? But obediently, Archbishop Dziwisz set up Mass in the Pope's bedroom as the Pope was going in and out of consciousness. And they offered the Mass for the vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday. And in the course of that Mass, when it came time for Holy Communion, Archbishop Dziwisz gave the Pope a few drops of the Lord's most precious blood through a glass medicine dropper. And it was less than a half hour after the Pope received viaticum, food for the journey, he went home to the Father's house. And that big, big bell at St. Peter's that never rings alone, rang alone. Boom. Boom. Boom, and announced to the world that the Pope had just died. When Pope John Paul II died yesterday on Saturday, April the 2nd, 2005, it was the same day liturgically as it was this year, the eve of Divine Mercy Sunday. Pope John Paul II died in really an incredible time. He died on the seventh day in the octave of Easter. And most of you know that every day of the octave of Easter is Easter. That's why we say, on this day, during the Mass. This is why we sang every day last week, including today, in today's responsorial psalm, this is the day the Lord has made, because today is Easter. Every day of the octave is Easter. So the Pope died on Easter, the day of resurrection, the day that death was conquered and life restored. The Pope died on the seventh day of the octave. And St. Augustine says that the number seven means complete perfection. And so the Pope died on the number, the seventh day, a completely perfect day. The Pope died on Saturday, the Sabbath day. The seventh day of the week is the day of rest. Sabbat means to rest. God rested on the seventh day from all the work he had undertaken. Jesus rested in the tomb on the Sabbath. And so after over 26 years as Pope, John Paul II could rest from all of his labors. And they prayed when he died, "Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord." The Pope died on the first Saturday of the month. John Paul II, you know, had a great love for our Blessed Mother. When he was only 9 years old, John Paul II's mother died, and shortly after his mom passed away, he went to Jasna Góra Monastery in Poland to pray at the icon of Our Lady of Częstochowa, and the Pope told her, "You have to be my mother now." And she was, till the very end, dying on a first Saturday, a day dedicated always to our Blessed Mother. And of course he died on top of all of that. He died on the eve of Divine Mercy Sunday. The perfect day to die. That's what I want to do. I want to die today on Divine Mercy Sunday. After having gone to confession and Holy Communion, I would be guaranteed to go to heaven, even leaping over purgatory, as St. Teresa of Avila says. What a perfect day to go home to the Father's house. On the day that Pope John Paul II died, on the eve of Divine Mercy Sunday, it is the feast that he himself established. Yes, for during the great Jubilee year 2000, Pope John Paul II canonized St. Faustina, the great apostle of mercy in the 20th century, in addition to the Pope himself. And then he surprised everyone at her canonization. He officially made, through church law and the church's liturgy, this eighth day of the octave of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday. And at the big pranzone after the canonization, that's the big dinner that they had after the canonization, at the big pranzone, the Pope told the doctor who was in charge of St. Faustina's canonization, he told the doctor, "Today is the happiest day of my life. Today is the happiest day of my life. Divine Mercy Sunday in the great Jubilee year 2000. For all of you trivia buffs out there, this convergence of the day that St. John Paul II died on Saturday, April the 2nd, and the eve of Divine Mercy Sunday will never, ever, ever happen again in our lifetime. Never. I will never be able to preach on this again, ever. If my calculations are correct, the next time that Saturday, April the 2nd, falls on the eve of Divine Mercy Sunday is in the year 2157. So, pun intended, this is truly an extraordinary year of mercy. The next day, today, Sunday, April the 3rd, 2005, the Pope would always come to the window of his papal apartment, and he would lead the people in St. Peter's Square in praying the Angelus at noon, or during the Easter season, the Regina Caeli. And then the Pope would say a few words to the crowd gathered in St. Peter's Square. Well, on Divine Mercy Sunday, on that Sunday, April the 3rd, 2005, the Pope had died. So he wasn't going to come to the window. But fortunately, Pope John Paul II was not a procrastinator like I am. He had prepared his talk ahead of time. And so the Archbishop of the Vatican, Archbishop Leonardo Sandri, came to the window and read the address for Divine Mercy Sunday that the Pope himself had prepared. And this is what he read. "As a gift to humanity, which sometimes seems bewildered and overwhelmed by the power of evil, selfishness, and fear, The risen Lord Jesus offers his love that pardons, reconciles, and reopens hearts to love. It is a love that converts hearts and gives peace. How much the world needs to understand and accept divine mercy. And that was St. John Paul II's last message, written before his death, delivered the day after he died, Divine Mercy Sunday, April the 3rd, 2005, exactly 11 years ago today. How much the world needs to understand and accept divine mercy. He would say this throughout his pontificate. One time he said, "There is nothing that man needs more than divine mercy." And now enter Pope Francis, who clearly understands that there is nothing that man needs more than divine mercy, who clearly understands how much the world needs to understand and receive divine mercy. So Pope Francis comes along and says, let's have an extraordinary jubilee year of mercy. Pope Francis is saying the same thing. For us who are overwhelmed by evil, by sin, by selfishness, by fear, by doubts, the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, offers a love that pardons, reconciles, converts hearts, and gives peace. And today, this Divine Mercy Sunday, is the heart of this jubilee year for mercy. Way back in 1931, our Lord appeared in private revelations to a Polish nun by the name of Saint Faustina, asking her to establish a feast of divine mercy on the Sunday after Easter. Little did she know that it would be through a Polish pope that would help her establish that. Our Lord told St. Faustina, on that day, on Divine Mercy Sunday, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. On that day, that's today, are open all the divine floodgates through which graces flow. I will pour out an whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the font of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and Holy Communion will receive complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. Wow. That's all we have to do. Go to confession and receive Holy Communion. It's almost too good to be true, isn't it? Complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. God not only forgives, he forgets. There'll be no effects, no temporal consequences or punishment due to sins. It's too good to be true. That's all we have to do. But it is true, because Jesus says it, and he is the truth. He told St. Faustina, let no soul fear to draw near me, even though his sins be as scarlet. Let no soul fear to draw near me. You remember during St. Pope John Paul II's inaugural Mass on the 22nd of October 1978, what did he say? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And over for 26 years and 5 months, that's all he said, do not be afraid. What did Jesus say to St. John in today's second reading? He was down on the ground as if dead, and he touched him. The risen Lord Jesus touched St. John on the island of Patmos, and he said, do not be afraid. Why are we so afraid? Why are we so afraid to go to confession? Why? Why are we so afraid to go to confession to God, who is love and mercy himself? Why are we so afraid? What is the answer to all of our fears and doubts? Trust. Trust. Trust in God. The answer to our fears and doubts, to our downcast spirit and locked minds and hearts is written on the image of divine mercy. That's the answer to our fears and doubts. Jesus, I trust in you. The answer is complete trust in God. Do not be afraid. In the written words of Saint Pope John Paul II, prepared for Divine Mercy Sunday exactly 11 years ago today, he said, Lord, we believe in you and confidently repeat to you today, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Have mercy on us and on the whole world.